Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, some might say that we are getting ready for the unofficial start of golf season this week as we get ready for one of my favorite tournaments. It's the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It's TPC Scottsdale. It's the par 71, 7,261 yards. Skeeter, before we get into the Waste Management, we didn't do the Pebble Beach tournament last week, conflict of schedule, and that was actually our conflict of schedule, not the lack of players in the field's conflict of schedule with the purse that lacked from what we'll see this week. But are we taking anything from the last couple weeks before we get ready for the big one, the Waste Management, the Super Bowl appetizer?
Well, first of all, when you say schedule conflicts, how about we just say that this was me? That I was the one who ran into some unexpected schedule conflicts that kind of delayed things. So my apologies on that. I guess if we're going to go back to Farmers, the takeaway is if the tournament's in California, just consider Max Homa.
Yep.
And I believe the U.S. Open's there this year?
Yeah, they were actually talking about it on the broadcast, how he's got to be the early favorite at the L.A. Country Club.
Okay, he's not going to be the favorite. Like...
Correct, but it was an easy narrative to spit out there when he was beating a field that contained Jon Rahm at Jon Rahm's favorite place,
right,
where U.S. Open was indeed won not too long ago. So, I mean, I could get it from a broadcasting perspective.
Right, but maybe one of the favorites, but not the favorite. Like, come on.
Sure.
He could win this week and go win the Players, and he's still not going to be a favorite over Rory or Rahm. Like, let's be honest here.
It's LA. I mean, he's higher. I'm getting used to the fact that he's one of the highest up on the board on a weekly basis.
No, it is. It is. And then so that was that. Then this week, our favorite golfer.
Well, your favorite golfer.
One of mine, the Vampire Strikes.
Oh, and he just looks like a vampire, but I gotta say, it was fun watching him. He even mentioned, I don't know. It wasn't necessarily fun watching him. Let me rephrase that. It was fun watching this tournament, regardless of the stars. And, you know, frankly, Justin Rose is a star. He was a world number one. He's Olympic champion, U.S. Open champion. But the rest of the guys he was competing against, for the most part, kind of didn't hold up to, Keith Mitchell and Peter Malnati and Denny McCarthy knocking on the door isn't exactly what we've got this week. But watching the venue, Pebble Beach, man, it just always stands up to it. And as we record this on a Monday night, watching the Monday morning finish, oh, my Lord, as the waves were breaking and crashing, it was just quite a scene. High tide with, the waves getting in the way of shots, not, you know, TV shots, not golf shots, on 18 was a spectacular viewing experience.
Yeah, I wish I would have got to watch this morning, but, school was a calling, so...
I understand.
But yeah, nice to see, I do like Justin Rose. I know he's had some down struggles, but it's nice to see him get back in the winner circle. And he actually continues a trend with 2023 winners, and I think you'll appreciate this. There's only been one person to win so far in the 2023 calendar year on the PGA Tour whose last name was not four letters.
Interesting.
And that was
Homa, Rahm, obviously Rose.
Rahm, and then Siwoo Kim.
All right.
So apparently maybe there's your new trend. If you have more than four letters in your last name, you're not winning so far in 2023.
As an Adams, that's painful. Can I just borrow one letter from when Siwoo won to be make it five? Not that I could come close to anything here.
Maybe, yeah. But so if you want to play the all four letter or less lineup this week. There you go.
I'm scouring through to see who I've liked with less than four letters now. I think I'm going to break that narrative this week. I hope so anyway. But that's interesting. I didn't notice that.
I heard somebody say that. I can't take credit for that one. I heard somebody say that. I'm like, oh, that is true. That is kind of funny. Ironic.
That is definitely quirky and interesting as we've reached the second month of the year.
Yeah, there was some other slight... Oh, no, that was something else. Yeah.
Skeeter, are we ready to take the look forward to what I think is one of the more fun tournaments of the year? Oh, and I think most people would agree.
Absolutely. I know this is a personal favorite for you and me.
Well, it is for me for so many reasons. One, I'm in my down season at work, so I'm going to get to watch this thing Thursday through Sunday. It was the first golf tournament I ever made a bet on, and I won when Webb Simpson won a couple years ago. So besides the fact that 16 is the partiest hole there is, and it's an awesome tournament, I have those things going too. So at any rate, I'm looking forward to it, Skeeter. It's the Waste Management Open. It's a par 71. We know a lot about 16 in the party, 17 in the risk reward. Tell us about the course. What are we looking at? What are we looking for as we pick our way through the golfers?
So, by the way, I think they've actually now changed the name of this. Like, I think Waste Management has just gone to WM.
I've heard that all the previews, because after – what's funny is the coverage ends. Like, Justin Rose gives us thanks for watching me win, and they go straight to the booth, and it is out on 16 at WM Phoenix Open. So, yeah, I think you're right about that.
Well, yeah. And then what else was I going to say? Oh, come on. There's another reason you really like this tournament.
I mean, all the boozing that goes on, yeah.
I mean, okay, maybe.
No, Charlie Hoffman's a Waste Management.
Absolutely. Come on.
Come on. Well, fair enough.
I mean, I realize the Seagull Invitational is at Valero, but...
That's right.
But if not, I mean, this is the green glove. It's, you know, he goes all out, and he may not have the best, you know, finish history here, but I think he's only missed one cut in the past 8 times.
Yeah, he's been okay. I tell you what, I got a little excited when he opened up birdie yesterday when they started the fourth round.
I know. I texted you like, oh, hey, look at this.
Some TV little TV time, and then the leader started teeing off, and that was that.
Yeah, he wasn't like McCarthy. He went and shot, 29 on the first nine?
Yeah, he had a round, dude. He had a round.
But, this is a great tournament for finishing, too, because 13 and 15 are par 5s. 16's the rowdy par 3. 17's the risk reward par 4.
Par 4.
And we've seen guys kind of come out of nowhere. Like Brooks Koepka a couple years ago kind of came out. Brendan Grace should have won, I think, the year Ricky did, but then he put one in the water in 17. Ricky won. Even last year, Scheffler and Cantlay kind of went nuts. Simpson, the year he won, I think he had to.
He birdied 17 and 18, Finau parred them both, and then they essentially hit the same approach shots into 18 again, and Webb made his putt again, and Finau did not. Right. Again, it was awesome.
And I mean, this, yes, and this used to be known as the Hideki Open when he went like fourth, third, first in a 4-year span. So, I mean, there's just a lot of great tournaments here. Unfortunately, for the tournament itself, a couple of the players who played well here, Bubba and Scotty, well, they're, or not Scotty, Brooks.
Bubba.
They're not eligible to play right now because they're on a different tour, but, you know, so be it. But, yeah, it's a real exciting finish, and I think 5 of the past 7 years has gone to a playoff, so if you're literally looking for a transition, you know, if you're not really into the Super Bowl pregame show, just watch this thing because it's probably going to a playoff.
Oh, man, I can't wait till Sunday because this is like, this really does make Super Bowl Sunday super. Because you only have the one game, and you know how commercial and anesthetic it's going to be, and this most certainly makes it good. And, you know, I mean, Saturday you're going to have plenty of great action as you're getting ready for it, and, well, quite frankly, for me, Thursday, Friday, too. So I'm fired up, Skeeter, obviously, as you're fully aware. Anything else we want to look at? We want to look at statistics here before we get into the field, yeah?
I got one other question for you before we get to the stats. On Sunday, over under one half of a golfer who takes their shirt off, like Harry Higgs did last year.
Well, Joel Damon did it with him, if I'm not mistaken. They did it in unison. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They did it. They agreed to kind of do it together. So I think Joel lifted his shirt up and exposed himself while Harry Higgs was fully shirtless, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they did the old school kid shirt over the shoulders still on. I don't remember exactly, but I would say under because they did it last year. So I'm going to say under 1.5 because I don't know if we got two guys doing it again.
That's fair. Now, could you imagine if Rory does that, the roars that would happen?
Oh, the lady swooning. It would be something. He would never pull that maneuver.
No.
He'd have to have won the Masters, but then he's not going to pull that move at the Masters, so that's just never happening. Although Tom Brady, I guess, sells underwear because he posted a underwear picture today. So you never know. Maybe Rory does have an undershirt deal that he's going to expose us to this week. We'll find out.
I'm trying to look through the field. Tom Kim maybe would be a bold one. You know, here's what they need to do. You know, since we're miking up golfers now, can we please get Tyrrell Hatton mic'd up for a hole or two? And can we get him mic'd up after a bad shot?
Please let that happen. Please let that happen. Come on, CBS.
Get Hatton mic'd up.
I am very much looking forward to just giving. Please let me see him tee off on 16 all 4 days. Well, I'm assuming he's making the cut. He's not my favorite 8K golfer, by the way, but no. I'm assuming he makes the cut. Let me see him tee off all 4 days there.
Yes, or 17, the risk reward when he hooks.
Well, if he goes one, yeah, if he gets wet, absolutely. And his reaction to that, especially if one lingers and then rolls in.
Oh God. I hope somebody at CBS has figured out. It's like, you know, I love Tommy, but he's not the one I want to, you know, mic'd up. Horschel would be interesting. But yes, please give us a Hatton mic'd up.
I am for that, as you know. I am for that, as you know.
All right. So enough of the nonsense, unless you have any other nonsense we want to.
Not at this moment. I'm sure. Well, I mean, wait till we get to 6K. I've got plenty of nonsense.
Well, I mean, I know there's a certain WM-sponsored golfer down there.
There's a Cincinnati and there's a Kentuckian. I mean, the Triple H factors down there, bro.
Also, Holmes, Herminator,
and Siegel. Hoffman.
Oh, man. You're not going to play Zach Johnson?
We may. Okay. He just didn't fit the Triple H narrative.
What about Johnny? All right, sorry. I'm naming off six golfers. All right. Stat-wise here, off the tee actually is somewhat important. That showed up in last year's stats. Approach, opportunities gained, birdies are better gained. Like, this one's probably going to take, like, a minus 15, minus 20 type of score. Putting does play a little bit of a role here. Not the fastest greens, but not the toughest greens in the world. Most of the par fours between 400 and 500, so I'll take a look at that. All the par fives are 550 to 600. And then most of the proximity is 150 to 175 with a little bit in the 200-plus range. So that's what I'm looking at. 132 golfers, I believe, top 65 in ties. So just under a half guaranteed to make the cut, most likely more than all, or most likely half, over the half of the field will make the cut. This is also the first of the elevated events. So this is a $20 million purse with like 3.5 or 3.6 or something like that million to the winner. So that's something to start thinking about as far as one and done contests, or if you're in other formats where prize money is the factor. This one's one of the elevated ones, so you might want to consider that a little bit. Like, maybe this isn't the week to get super cute if you like Ricky Fowler, for example, or if you like, I'm just gonna look down the list, you know, Cage Lee, you know, it's a TBC course, so it always fits him. Not sure this is the week you want to go there unless you're absolutely convinced that, yeah, no, they're going to win.
I am with you there. Elevated event makes an elevated field, and I can't imagine why you'd want to get out of the top 20 in this tournament out of the board. Top 25, anyway. I wouldn't think so. We'll get to that one and done in a little bit. You ready to get into the field, my man?
Yep.
Let's do it. Well, we just said it's an awesome field, and it is at the top, 10K plus. You got John Rahm at 11, Rory McIlroy's 10-8, Scotty Scheffler 10-3, Tony Finau 10-1, Xander Schauffele 10K even. Skeeter, got some studs here. Who are you going as your favorite?
They do. I mean, this is what you like in a 10K field.
This is a Masters or Major type field.
It is. Pat Mayo, listening to him earlier, almost kind of described this as like the Winter Major. But he's kind of right. Like,
the excitement that goes with it. I mean, yeah, it's the biggest tournament until we get the Players.
Right. Like, when we think about golf tournaments, they're usually standalone events. Like maybe, you know, except maybe the U.S. Open being on Father's Day. But in the sports world, there's usually nothing else competing. Here, this is, like, this is with the Super Bowl and the party atmosphere, and just the fact that it's become its own enigma says one thing. My favorite golfer here, boy, I'd love to say Rahm. His history is immaculate, but I mean, maybe I'm going to try to get up to him, but I think it's going to be Xander at 10K. You know, I like these guys who have never won at a course but have played really well. And Xander's been here 5 times, 3rd, 2nd, 16th, 10th, and 17th. So 5 straight top 20s. I think his back is fine. Like, I think if I remember right, he withdrew from the Tournament of Champions.
He did, and I was really worried about that. Had an MRI, but he's it made me fade him in our draft.
Right, but then he comes back with 3rd of the American Express, 13th at Farmers. Like, when I look at his numbers, approach numbers are good. The putting numbers are good. Around the greens been fine. Off the tee has been fine. Like, he, at least in the two starts back, has been solid in everything. So he ranks out, I mean, he does not rank out the best in this 10K plus tier, but I like that course history. I like the price. Like, if I start at Xander, you know, that's a good start. I still can fit some of these 9K guys in, and maybe I'll even try to throw a Rom Xander lineup together. But at 10K, I just think he's a really nice piece to start, and certainly somebody that I'm considering in one and done.
I have a fade, and then four guys that I like kind of pretty similarly. Mm-hmm. But my favorite is Xander for a lot of the reasons you said. The price is really what makes him my favorite. The great course history. I'm not going to fade Rom, but I'll tell you this. You say his course history is immaculate. Gosh, at 11K, he's got to do more than the 9th, 11th place finish that he's done, right? He's, what, been inside the top 10, and he's had two 10s. If I'm not mistaken, but is a 10th place at that price giving you anything? So that's what made me go, you know what? I'll go with Xander because he's a way cheaper. And frankly, his course history, probably a little bit better because his is quite immaculate here. And then, as you mentioned, after coming off the injury, he's had a couple of weeks where he's been 13th at San Diego and third the week before. So yeah, I'm going Xander too.
Yeah. I wonder if you and I have the same fade, but I mean, I like Rom. Rory rates out really well statistically, and this is the first time we've seen him stateside, so... But I don't think he's played Phoenix. Not that it really matters for him. I mean, he's still top 10 in a lot of the categories we're looking at. Finau's the other intriguing one. He's played well here. He's top 5 in both par 4 ranges, 8th in the par 5, 7th in putting, 3rd in birdies or better. Like, he hits all the metrics that you want to see here at 10-1. Like, he might be somebody I'm considering as well.
That's interesting. We're jumbling a little bit, but Tony Finau's my fade, actually.
Oh, okay.
He's got a lot of missed cuts here. He's been playing exceptionally. He finished second here in 2020, and okay, that's what I'm remembering. With Webb. So, I mean, yeah, the second to last time he played here, he was in a playoff still searching for that first win outside of Puerto Rico. I mean, so obviously he can win here, and he's been playing pretty good, but this group of five is so good that I'm just, Finau ends up being my fade. Rory's my second. I don't know if you were kind of saying he might, may or may not be. He's like, as you said, he's been on fire. Yeah, he makes the move stateside, so we'll see if this competition changes, but I'm going Rory number two, and I mentioned Finau, he's my fade, so that's where I'm at. Who are you fading? It's not Finau.
My fade's gonna be Scheffler, the defending champ. Like, we just haven't seen, I mean, he's been fine, but hasn't really been doing a ton. Like, what concerns me here is he's 114th in his field putting, and he just, the putter has not been there since he went on that run. Like, I mean, when I look at, like, you know, he lost 4.2 strokes at CJ Cup. He did gain 2.2 at the Tournament of Champions, finished 7th, lost 2 at Houston, probably should have, you know, had a chance to win there. Lost 3.5 of the Tour Championship when he started with the lead. Lost 4 at St. Jude. Like, the putter just has not been there since he went on that run. Like he had a hot stretch starting at Phoenix where the putter was just on fire. And we've only seen 3 events, recorded events, where he's gained strokes with the putter since then. So, in a course where I think you're going to have to make some putts, like, this isn't, you know, minus 10 is not going to win this thing. You're going to have to score. The questionable putter is a little bit of a concern for me.
You ready to take it to the 9Ks?
Yep.
It's Max Homa at 99, Justin Thomas 98, Colin Morikawa's 97, Cantlay 95, Hideki Matsuyama 94, Victor Hovland 93, Sungjae Im 92, Tom Kim's 91, Matthew Fitzpatrick's 9K. Skeeter, where are you going here? Who's your favorite?
Again, this simply might just be a course history narrative here, but it's Hideki at 94.
Okay.
I play him every year, almost every year at Phoenix. Just I remember that 4-year stretch, as I mentioned earlier, where he, what did he do, go like first, second, first, fourth, something like that, like, or second, first, first, and then hit a withdraw, and then a couple of top 20s and an 8th last year. Like, he just sees this course so well, and 9,400, I realize we haven't seen the best of Hideki, and I know sometimes we like to kind of wait till we do and then jump on. This is one of those times I have no problem jumping on him early. 5th in that range from 400 to 450. He's 22nd in 150 to 175 range. Not the best of the par 5 in this distance, which is actually kind of surprising with his game. But, I mean, he was ninth at Farmers. Granted, that was 5.7 strokes putting after the previous tournament where he lost five at Sony putting. But there's at least elements here that show that his game might be coming around a little bit. And with his course history at 9,400, I don't know how popular he's going to be, but he's always going to have my attention at this tournament.
I've seen him at 33-1 at the sportsbook out in Indiana. Of course, now I have competition with Kentucky, not Kentucky being legal, but Ohio being legal as well. So I'm also looking at another place where he's 28-1. I don't know if I'll play him. I probably will because of his course history here. At 33-1, man, that seems like a guy I'm just going to go ahead and throw some money down on too.
Yeah, I mean, he just makes a lot of sense with that history.
I'm going with my favorite to be Justin Thomas, however. He's 20-1 where I'm looking, and I might bet that. That's usually inside the numbers I like to go at, but Justin Thomas at 20-1, you can find that with a guy with really good course history. And at that price on DraftKings as well, I'm going to play him like crazy. I might bet him as well, but the Justin Thomas history here, and then you just couple in the fact that what do we got? 8th, 13th, 3rd, 3rd, 17th. Look, he's a really competitive guy. I think he'd like to be the guy who says, hang a banner and say, I won the first elevated event, too. Not that anybody else wouldn't, but this price just seems like a great discount where you're getting that elite player at a slightly less price.
Yeah, he's on my list. He's certainly going to be breaking better long-term than short-term. Like, when I mentioned the Scheffler putting woes, Scheffler's 114th putting in his field. Thomas is 115th, so that is a concern. Mm. The par fours, he is not really rated out really well. And so, but this might just be one of those talent over form type of plays that he's eventually going to figure out. He's on my list. I don't know how heavy I would go into him. Like, I'd rather bet Hideki at 28 or 33 than Thomas at 20, but Thomas at 20 certainly is plausible.
Where are you going as your number two behind Hideki here?
It might be back to Tom Kim.
Okay.
Let's talk about, somebody who, I think part of this tournament is, do you have the right mentality for it? It seems like Tom Kim will just embrace 16.
I would think so, too. I'm right there with you on that.
I mean, again, putter's going to be the issue here. He's very cold, hot or miss with the putter. Or hot or miss, hit or miss. Good grief, I can't talk. Talk worse than my music knowledge, which, hey, once in a while, I still get right. Second in approach, fifth in opportunities gained, 13th birdies better, number one in that proximity from 150 to 175, seventh from proximity 200 plus. The putter is a concern here. These greens maybe are not bad. Like, I think we've seen some questionable putters win. Like, Scheffler, I know, was on fire when he won. Ricky's been okay. I'm trying to think of my past winners. Brooks, another hit or miss putter guy. So Tom
Kim Webb's been hit or miss in his career. Webb's been hit or miss in his career.
Yeah, well, when Webb won, it was the later version of Webb. Hideki certainly hit or miss with the putter. So,
yep.
Tom Kim, I'm less worried about that, but everything else is so good. 9,100 actually feels like a pretty good spot for him.
I think I got to go Colin Morikawa, and I like the two guys you like in this range. I just look at Colin Morikawa. It's kind of the same exact narrative of what I gave you with JT. Now, is there course history like Thomas's? Well, there's not. Morikawa's played here once. He was 25th. But he's just an elite player who, yeah, melted down a little bit at the Tournament of Champions, but he still finished second there. And he was third at Farmers. So, I mean, he rebounded well from that meltdown and was very good and in contention towards the end. I mean, he wasn't really lighting home his heels on fire, but he was in contention there. Give me Colin Morikawa at 9,700 here. But I'll tell you this. I don't know if his personality fits this place the way you mentioned Tom Kim's might.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but he does rank top 10 across all range in the models that I'm running. So he does make sense. Putter, again, will be the issue. Also, not a great par 5 player at this range. But good approach, good proximity numbers, good opportunity birdies are better. Yeah, I mean, this is where, unfortunately, there's such a low field, you have to make, you have to do some deep tiebreakers that you might not really want to. And personality, I think, could potentially fit here.
Yeah, I could see that. We'll see if I don't just piggyback one of your two guys or even go with Patty Ice. We'll see. Where are you fading from this field?
I think it's going to be Matthew Fitzpatrick. Again, this just does not seem like a Fitzpatrick course. Of course, I might still be a little bitter because I used him in one and done last week.
So here's the deal, man. I mean, he hasn't won in the U.S. except for that one time, which was the U.S. Open, which was hosted at a course that he had a great amateur history at and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's still searching for that next win. He did break through with a major. But I'm kind of with you. I don't know where I feel about him, but he's not my fade. I'm actually going with Victor Hovland, whose course history here just isn't good. And yeah, he played decent last week, but he dominates Pebble Beach. I almost said Pebble Creek, silly goose. That's a course not too far from me. So I'm going to fade Victor Hovland, actually, who's missed the cut here quite a few times.
Which is surprising, because you'd think that this would be a decent course for him. But yeah, he doesn't even, in the 24 rounds or less, he does not rate out very well in those stats either. So yeah, that is kind of a weird thing on him.
Shall we hit the 8Ks?
Yes.
We'll do it. At 89s, Cam Young, Jordan Spieth, 87, Sam Burns, 86. Thigala, 85, Hatton, 84, Montgomery, 83, Lowry, 82, Tommy Fleetwood, 81. Ricky Fowler's 8K. Skeeter, what are you doing in this tier? I'm very curious.
Man. Wait, Thigala, Hatton, Fleetwood? Oh, man. You want to talk about my guys. But I don't like any of them. Like, nobody's really standing out to me statistically here. I guess the one guy, if you're going to make you play anybody, is Cam Young at 8,900. Great off the tee. Great birdies. Good approach, all that. It's the putter again that kind of gets in the way. So, and you know, I think I like Tom Kim for 200 more than I do Cam Young. But, you know, if I take a quick look, no, he's not going to get any ownership discounts either. Like, that's just the thing. Like, so I guess he's my favorite, but I don't know how much I'm in this tier. Like, I kind of like the 9s and the 10K enough that I could probably get two or three of them and dip down to the 7s and maybe a 6 or so, but not love with this tier.
So I don't think I'm doing 10 lineups anymore, which means I don't think I'm doing an all just 8K lineup, which when I do 10, I make one of them just kind of a standard, yep. You know, at least 4, if not 5 guys from the 8K. If I set 3 to 5 lineups this week, which is what I'm aiming at, that's not happening. I don't really care for this tier either. That's why I was curious to see what you had to say. I could see myself going 9K, 7K. There's some guys in 7K I really like, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But I'm with you. Like, I love Hatton, but I don't know that I love him here this week. Like, I don't really know what to think of him. My favorite, it's going to be Sahith Theegala. He was in the hunt last year, and he was in the hunt 2 weeks ago when he played. So, okay, partial is the fact that I'm cashing a partial top 5 on him a couple of weeks ago. And I have good recent memory vibes there. But he had a good tournament here a year ago. I think his game fits here. Obviously, he fit well the first time through the 4 days here. So I'm going with Theegala here. More about I'm worried he's going to be popular. So, like, I like him, but I wonder how popular he'll be. I'd guess a lot.
He's not attracting a ton of attention. He's getting some, but nothing big yet. My issue here is that his off the tee has been really poor for a while now. Like, he started off this last season pretty well, kind of a little slump, then picked it up again in June. But ever since then, like, let's see, if we go back to the Rocket Mortgage, 1, 2, he's only gained shots off the tee 3 times in like 12 events or so. So, and with off the tee kind of making an appearance here, because I don't think, if I remember right, the rough isn't horrible here, but the deserts, and especially if you get stuck behind a cacti, could be a little bit of an issue. Like, that's just enough of a concern that, you know, I'm not sure I'm there. Again, if he's in contention, you and I are both big Theegala fans, and I think he's got a nice popular following on the tour, but I'm just not sure I'm ready to go there right now with his off-the-tee issues.
I'm fine with that. Where are you going besides Cam Young, who, by the way, I do like too?
Shane Lowry pops up a little bit. So, again, I'm kind of choosing the bad putter narrative this week. But really good opportunities, really good approach, good those par fives and those proximities. I guess my only issue here is he going to win a 20-under tournament?
I don't think so.
Like, he doesn't feel like that type.
He's not my fade, but he's lower on my list because of that. And he played decent here. He seems like he would fit his personality fits this perfectly.
Yes.
And his history here from a few years back isn't bad either. But I was just like, yeah, I don't know if his upside goes past like top 15 as like his maximum upside at this tournament. I don't know that he wins it.
Yeah, I don't know either, so
I went with Ricky as my number 2.
Yeah.
Again, I don't love the field. The reason I picked Ricky over Cam Young, price was a little bit, but guess Young going from California to Saudi back to Phoenix, you know, it's a lot of travel that Ricky's not partaking in. So I went with Ricky in a split decision over Cam Young as my number two. Course history is good. He's been playing pretty good lately. We'll see if that great golfer that was once in there returns. If it does, this would be a place where, you know, I would imagine he has fun, has some good vibes. Obviously, he fits here.
Yeah, well, and as somebody who, you know, needs him to be okay for our season long, because he was my second round pick and my first round pick isn't playing. Where you at, Willie Z? I would be perfectly okay with Young playing well, but yeah, Ricky does make sense. Guy who's had success here, finally starting to find that form and play well at Farmers, where he traditionally has not due to sponsor obligations. So maybe a return here will work for him. But yeah, again, I think we're just kind of grasping at straws here. Like, I thought I might like Sam Burns, but you know, he just hasn't been playing real well for me to want to go there. And
only one good showing here, right? A couple of missed cuts around one good showing. Like, I'm not sure this is a Burns place either. Burns is my second to last fade. He's on the bubble of my fade.
Well, we're going to go back to some old times here. Go Jordan Spieth.
No, because Spieth had some good moments here. He was talking about going to the Super Bowl, and I wonder if, you know, with the Cowboys being out of it now, that he's not going to do that, if he'll be more focused on this tournament. But, you know, that there was chatter about that a couple weeks ago. No, I'm actually fading Tommy Fleetwood, who just hasn't been playing very good lately.
Yeah, that's fair.
And he hasn't played here, so maybe he fits here really good. We'll see. He seems like a happy-go-lucky guy that would fit in here pretty good, too. But just not having not seen him play this course and not play it. Frankly, Tommy Fleetwood, I don't think has been great for a couple of years. I think he's an easy fade out of here.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not probably dipping this tier a ton, if at all. So as far as I'm concerned, everybody is certainly fadeable here.
Shall we go to the tier below the sevens?
Yes.
Skeeter, I think I wrote down about 14 names that I could use. I don't know that I'm going to use them all, but I think I'm going to sprinkle in some 9K, 7K combos. So I got a few names I'm interested in. Where are you starting?
Yeah, I'm trying to narrow down which one I want to go with here. What's the name of this course?
TPC Phoenix?
So
TPC Scottsdale, I think.
It is TPC Scottsdale. So does that mean we just go right back to Mr. TPC himself, Cage Lee?
You certainly can.
Like, approach, opportunities, birdies all good, putting is about average, you know, proximity for 200 plus, not the best, but again, not exactly something I'm really going to concern with. Missed at the American Express. That can be a little bit of a funky tournament. I think I used him there, and it looks like he missed on the number. 20th at Sony, 7th at the Tournament of Champions. Like, I think he has a runner-up finish here, or a top three finish here a couple of years ago, if I remember right.
I don't know that off
the
top of my head.
Yeah, he was second in 2021. That's right, because Brooks, that was the first time I hit a winner here. And I think Cage Lee might have been the leader going in the final round, or...
You might be right, actually.
He might have, or maybe he was just kind of stalling, and nobody, I remember that, you're like, nobody was making a move, and then Brooks just kind of took over, and as somebody who had him at 50-1 that year, I was very appreciative of that, but no, Cage Lee just kind of, you know, 38th last year. Decent, you know, he can get hot. We've seen him do well these TPC courses, so I guess for no other reason, that's where I'm going to start here.
I can get with it. I mean, I'm just going to go back to the well to one Keegan Bradley. He's been playing exceptional golf, striking the ball great. I get it. He's got to make some putts. My man made some putts Sunday week and a half ago or so.
No, I was only laughing because, like, he's all of a sudden, you know, threatening the lead at Farmers, like, I don't know if I remember him being in this field.
He was electric that day. I don't know if he or Homa ended up having the lowest final round, but he was on fire. And
it had to be Keegan because Homa finished later. Like, Keegan, I think, was like an hour ahead of Homa, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, Keegan was a couple groups ahead. Yeah, but he ended up finishing second, but. I mean, right now, give me some Keegan Bradley. I know that we're going to have to rely on some putting, and that can be a problem with Keegan Bradley, but he's had some success at this tournament as well.
Over the past 24 rounds, he's 55th in putting. So, I mean, that's
I'll take that with the way he's striking the ball right now.
I mean, do we just go back to Jason Day?
Gosh, no course history, been playing really well. He is on my list, absolutely. And I wonder, like, where his ownership goes, because he's been playing well, so it'll look like a discount. But he's also, got, you know, never done anything here, and we know what, you know, is he really back? So, I don't know. I'm interested to see how owned he is. He's certainly on my list.
About 10%. So, again, not anything crazy. Good grief. Are you kidding? Okay. Another guy who, course history, not great, but, again, we're talking about guys who can win. Maybe this is, you know, this might be the definition of getting a too cute one and done, but at the same time, it's understandable. I mean, he's already won this year. Siwoo Kim?
He is not good on this course.
No.
So I don't know. Because I like Day, because Horschel's got a good course history,
yes, he does.
And I like Keegan, I'm just kind of away from Siwoo at this point.
I mean, Siwoo won it at Sony. All he's done is 22nd in the American Express, 25th at Farmers. Like, it's not like he's tanked it after a win, which in the past has kind of been his issue.
And he was 26 here a year ago. It's not as if he's terrible here.
No, and I mean, when we think of TBC courses, he's one of the players. He's won at Sedgefield. Yep. He's won at TPC 2 weeks ago. TBC, what is that called?
2 weeks ago? Where? 2 weeks ago was PGA
West.
The Farmers. Oh, okay.
Oh, 3 weeks ago, sorry. Like, he's played well at some of these TPC courses. He's a die specialist. I mean, I know this isn't a die course, but maybe there's something in the stadium set up. Like, his form's good enough.
I guess I'll take a peek at it. I may get there. We'll see. Interesting names that I'm looking at the top besides there. Billy Horschel, Corey Connors. Like I said, I like those two a lot. So I don't know if I get to Siwoo because of that. But those two, Alex Noren is another name in the upper half of the sevens that has had some good success here as well. I wonder how popular Alex Noren would be.
Okay. I just looked at Noren because I initially had him marked, but I'm going to take him off. We haven't seen him since Houston. And that was almost an outlier. So he's been off for a while. Corey Connors is going to be by far the most popular player in this tier.
Interesting. That may get me to fade him then. Not necessarily make him my fade, but, you know, not be 80% or whatever on him.
Right. Yeah, it just doesn't feel like this might be the spot. Corey Connors, I don't think it's a terrible course setup for him, but again, is he going to go win 20 under? Like, if he's playing these guys at Colonial or something like that, okay, I'm in. But this doesn't feel like his sort of course.
I can get with that. Seamus Power, definitely a guy that I'm going to consider as well.
Not on my radar, but
okay.
Certainly there.
Any other names you're liking?
I mean, again, if we're going to get to a little bit of a scoring fest here, Tom Hoagie is always certainly capable of that. And what has he done recently? Did he? So
he hasn't been good since TCU got walloped.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
But he's decent here.
I mean, he was good on approach at Sony. American Express, off a tee was issue. Pebble just didn't do much in his two recorded rounds, but I don't know. He's always one that can score for me. You know, could be a scorer. Down the board here, I know I don't have to convince you on Chris Kirk.
Nope, he's there. He's on my list.
I mean, back-to-back thirds at Sony and the American Express. His approach, boy, 5.5 and 4.3 strokes respectively. The putter is working.
He was good here last year. He's had a couple good times here.
This feels like this. Maybe this is a, this is odds. This maybe is a sneaky bet.
I don't know where his number is. I don't know. Chris Kirk's not a guy I'm afraid to bet. I'll tell you that right now. I'll try to find it. Well, look at you just disappearing on me.
I know this is great content. So we're looking at Chris Kirk odds, but 80-1.
Yeah. Oh, I could get him at 90 in Indiana currently.
I get Siwoo at 90. Billy Ho at 90. Like, oh man.
Let me ask you about some of the guys that just finished the round today. A Keith Mitchell, who looked pretty good, couldn't make a putt, quite frankly, in his final round at Pebble. Keith Mitchell, Denny McCarthy. Are those two guys that can do anything for you? Are they possibly, like, I assume they would have been higher priced had the pricing not come out so early per the late finish.
See, McCarthy doesn't have a good history here. Keith Mitchell, yeah, 10th and 16th. I don't mind Mitchell. I felt like he was in contention one of these years. Maybe it was last year that he was, I mean, 10th, but I felt like he had been involved somewhere along the way here. So, no issue there. JT Poston's going to get a lot of love this week. He ranks out really well in the shorter-term models, and he's been good all year so far. Not sure, again, not sure this is the right setup for him. Gary Woodland will get some attention because he rates well off the tee, but the putter and some of the par four numbers, not very good. So that could be an issue there. Brendan Steele's been playing a lot better.
Yeah, he has. He's on my radar.
Has he won here or has he played really well? Like,
he hasn't won here, but he's played decent here, and he's dirt cheap, man. And he has been playing good, like you said.
His approach numbers are off the charts. His, well, around the green and putting is another.
So he's missed the cut three of the last 4 years here. But he has a 30th, a 3rd, a 16th, a 17th, and a 26th as well. So Brendan Steele is definitely on my radar.
And then maybe another guy, one of the Korn Ferry guys. I mean, we saw him in American Express. Davis Thompson. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you want to play that desert golf narrative, but I mean, he didn't look like he was out of place against Rahm that day. Like, he,
nope.
I mean, he lost, but he didn't look like he was starstruck. Had a good Korn Ferry season last year. I'm trying to pull up his numbers here. Okay. Really good off the tee. Like, he's a bomber. Really good from 200 plus. Again, another one for Team No Putts. But outside of that, everything kind of looks like things that you don't mind for a $7,100 golfer.
Is there a left-handed narrative here? Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, both with great success.
You're trying to get on Brian Harman, aren't you?
He's been okay here as well, and he has been okay recently. I know he missed the cut at Amex, but yeah, that's why I'm asking you. It's $7,400.
He doesn't pop for me, but I can get it. I don't know if there's a lefty narrative, but yeah, I mean, he has won at the John Deere's. That's a TPC course. I don't see him jumping up here for in this field.
Okay. And I don't mind that either. I was just kind of trying to create some narratives, of course. Adam Hadwin, by the way, on my radar this week as well. $7,100 seems like a criminal misprice for him, and I'll be happy to take advantage of that. His course history, pretty good here as well.
I have two other guys that have kind of popped. What is Kurt Kitayama? Like, he was in the final group, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, last group with, Rose?
I think so, yeah. Like,
talk about you'd think I didn't just watch it this morning.
Or I wasn't paying attention to it either, but yeah, it's funny how we kind of get going on some of these things. But guy's a pure scorer. Like, he's somebody I think you'd always bet first round leader, kind of that type of player. Last guy, I'm trying to see what his history is. Not great history here, but Joel Dahman is popping up a little bit in the stats. Really good opportunity birdie guy. Good par 5, good par 4 from 450-500. Another one, not best putter. So he rates out kind of well in this range as well.
Skeeter, you got a fade for me?
Everybody we didn't mention, considering we mentioned half the 7K tier, it feels like.
Well, I was glad that you were on most of the same guys. Like, when you mentioned a lot of the names I had written down, whether that's confirmation bias or just confirmation of good selections, we'll see. But I was happy to see that. I mean, I've got a couple fades. You mentioned Gary Woodland. There's no way in heck I'm playing him. Frankly, I won't play him or Webb Simpson. I might make that bet on Webb Simpson. What did we say he was, 250 to 1? I might throw a dollar on that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Throw a dollar, you know, win, top 5, top 10, something like that. You know, get your exposure that way.
But yeah, I won't play him. And like Gary Woodland, I was crazy that you mentioned him because I thought he'd be my fade coming into 7K before we got started. And you mentioned earlier that his course history is very erratic. It's either very good or very poor. And so yeah, I love Gary Woodland, but yeah, that's why I'll be fading really either or.
I will go Taylor Pendrith. I know he was 7th at Pebble this week, but again, that was mostly putting. His approach numbers have not been great. Off the tee hasn't been bad, but just not really getting the finishes that I think I'd want to see. And he's kind of up there at 7,400. Like, there's a lot of golfers I like better than him down below.
I'll agree with that. There's a handful of names that I like down there. Is there names in the 6K that you like, Skeeter? Is there a name that you dare go after?
Not really. Like, again, if I can end my lineup at 7K, I'm fine with that. But that being said, Hayden Buckley keeps popping up from time to time. Like he was second at Sony. His miscut at the Farmers, he lost in two rounds, or in the one round at the South Course, he lost five strokes putting. Like, that's not going to be a real thing. Like, he had a good fall, 20th at Shriners, if you like the desert golf angle, 5th at Zozo. Been playing pretty well outside that little miscut, so I don't mind him. I could always play David Lipsky. He's another scorer. I think he won. He's a winner on the DP World Tour. He's missed the last two cuts at Pebble and the American Express, but again, maybe he's just not the type who likes the pro-ams. We saw he was 4th at Sony. The irons have been fine all the whole time, so he might be worth a look too. So those are the first two names I'll mention.
It's easy to just start at the top, but Scott Stallings is a name that jumps out to me. I don't think he'd be 6,900 if his Pebble Beach, you know, finish was more a part of this here. As he finished 15th last week, missed the cut at Farmers, but before that, 25th at Sony, or Century, rather. That's obviously not great, but not terrible. So I'm interested in Stallings, who's been decent here. After that, I mean, I'm going, like, pretty far down the list, so I don't really think I'm going to 6K, because the guys that I like are, I just don't know that I'm going to need $6,300, but Ryan Moore, didn't he just have a decent little week? He's had some good finishes at this course. Charlie Hoffman, I get it, but he made the cut. It was okay last week, and he's got a decent course history here, and they're dirt cheap prices. So those are two names I would look at, but, I mean, if we're being honest with you, Skeeter, the names I like at the bottom of 7K, I'm kind of right there with you. I think that's where I stop.
I mean, there's a couple other guys that kind of hit, you know, one guy has me intrigued a little bit right now at, what is this price? 6,600 is Danny Lee. He does have a top five here. He also has some horrible finishes. So another one that's hit or miss, but he misses the Farmers, 16th at American Express, 40th at Sony. He gained on approach all three of those tournaments. He gained putting all three of those tournaments. I don't know. He must have had a horrible round in the North Course for the Farmers, but for somebody down here, he's at least showing some form. Like, and somebody who has at least a top finish here, I don't hate Danny Lee, which, now, grant, it's Danny Lee, so he's an enigma. Like, sometimes he could just be awful, which is always a concern, but I mean, I have, you know, Neesmith and Lonto, but I played them last week, so maybe that's just kind of something's kind of popping up. And then if we really want to get down to 6,300, I mean, Mark Hubbard feels like he's a little underpriced. I'm trying to see what he's done recently. I mean, he was 20th at Pebble, had a kind of a rough stretch before, but American Express, he played fine at the TBC West, the stadium course.
Yeah, he missed the cut at 9-under. I mean, that's we'll accept that.
And his previous missed cuts,
Sony, he was 1-under. I mean, he just missed the cut there as well.
Yeah,
the
same thing looks like at the Worldwide Mayakoba. He missed on a number. Bermuda, he missed on a number. Like, he's 5th in the fall at Sanderson. So at 6,300, maybe it's a little bit of a reach here, but he's not the worst $6,300 golfer I've ever seen in a DFS tournament.
Gosh, I thought my Ryan Moore find was good, but you might have had a better one with Mark Hubbard.
Hey, I mean, I'm always for Ryan Moore, you know, former John Deere Classic winner, but he did have a good.
Dude, you're onto something with Mark Hubbard. His course history, I was not finding him. His course history is good. He's done nothing but make the cut here. And you look at those missed cuts, they were all on the number. Like, all those missed cuts were -5, -1, -9. His course history here, 30th, 9th, 42nd, 60th.
That
I don't know. Dang.
Years ago, so a few years ago, when I first started kind of doing anything golf-wise, I was kind of taking a look at the 6K range, trying to find gems every week. And that was one of the things I kind of found was, like, these guys who had missed, like, four cuts in a row, but when you looked at it, it wasn't like they were missing by three or four strokes every term. It's more like these guys who are just missing the cut on the number.
God, that's got to be so painful. I mean, knowing that, you know, trying to make a living out there, literally.
Right, like you're one shot away, and, you know, even looking at the numbers, like, okay, they're not numbers. He's just on the wrong side of variance, and it's got to turn around at some point.
Well, you're gonna convince me to use him, I think, this week now.
Okay.
Skeeter, you got a fade in 6K?
Yeah, Ricky Barnes.
All right, that's fair enough for me. I'm going to fade one Ryan Palmer because it doesn't matter if John Rahm plays good there or not. Right now, Ryan Palmer isn't playing good. Missed the cut at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Was 62nd at Farmers where he plays good. So give me some Ryan Palmer. I'm fading him. He's a player I like to use, by the way. So I'm going to get away from him right now.
So wait, we went through the whole 6K tier at the WM Open, and you didn't even mention the Seagull.
I certainly did. I said there's a couple of guys I liked at 6,300. I don't know if I'm going to get there, but I like Ryan Moore and I like Hoffman. Oh, I mentioned Ryan Moore and Hoffman together, but sorry, I didn't want to go overboard.
Once you said Ryan Moore, I was just thinking of John Deere Classic in memory, so I just
yeah, I paired our idiosyncrasies together.
Well, I apologize that I missed half of that.
That's okay. That's okay. Skeeter, do you have anything else from this DraftKings perspective?
I do not.
I don't either. That means we turn the page to one and done. I already kind of let the cat out of the bag on where I stand this week. I think you spend your money. I know it's not money, but I think you use a big name. I don't think there's anything to hold back. I think you're using a top 25 player in the world. Yes, you're saving some guys for majors, I suppose, but I mean, I think you want to get as much money as you can here. Pick the winner. If the winner is the number one player in their world, then so be it.
Right. Yeah. This is definitely one. Find somebody you have some conviction on. Tom Kim certainly feels like an interesting name I could consider this week. Xander is one I'm just liking, and he's jumping out at me as somebody I should probably use. I will always consider Hideki here. Those would probably be the three I'm kind of looking at right now.
I almost want you to tell me who you're picking because I'm between Xander and Hideki. And I don't know why I have this odd fascination with not picking the guy you pick, but I'm probably between Xander and Hideki. I'm leaning X because I'd like to see him light a cigar in Phoenix since Joe Burrow can't this week.
Oh.
Xander does like his stogie. So does Joe Burrow. I don't know what the hell I'm trying to do there.
Yeah, no, Xander's kind of my lean here. Like, Xander's not always a guy that I'm on either. Like, there's certain tournaments I'm on. There's certain ones I'm not with him. But something just jumped out at me this week, even though the stats weren't popping. And I just kept, maybe it's just that tournament history. Like, okay, it feels like he's due. And, you know, hey, he's coming off the, you know, supposed back injury. He's been playing fine. Like, all right, maybe this is the time for him.
And the good performance at a place he typically doesn't play well boosts my confidence in him.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a major player, and, you know, this feels like it, you know, we said this is a big event, but, I mean, hey, he's won Olympic gold, so why not be the first one to win the first elevated event?
Amen to that. I'm looking at him. I'm certainly looking at a player of his caliber. JT maybe in the mix too. I may save JT given his form not quite as good as what we've seen from Xander. We'll see. We'll be plugging him in here in the very near future. Skeeter, do you have anything further on the WM Phoenix Open?
I don't think so. Again, this will just be it'll be fun, like getting to Friday afternoon, Friday early evening, and sweating this cuts and looking to see where we're at. And you know, try to, you know, basically in this top heavy field, trying to avoid whoever the landmine or two will be, because this tournament's had some low 6-6s. The year I had a lot of success, Hideki was like 30% owned, he withdrew, and the 6-6 was like sub 2%. So there's been some years here where that low 6-6, if you can avoid the landmine, boy, you are in great shape.
I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to people losing their mind that get booed on 16 on Friday when they're on the number and their ball rolls off the green It's going to be an interesting, interesting weekend.
Or somebody whose drive takes a bad bounce on 17, goes in the water like Thigala last year.
At least 17, you don't have people booing you. On 16, as your tournament may be crumbling in your hands on the final couple of holes, you got people booing you where you could just absolutely have a meltdown. I'd be throwing things into the stands. Maybe not, but I could see it happening.
Hey, maybe it's a good thing Patrick Reed isn't playing here.
Well, we can always end on a high note, and that's one right there. Skeeter, good luck to you this week. Good luck to everybody listening. Appreciate you joining us this evening, and good luck to everybody for the WM Phoenix Open. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast.